Welcome back to the Martial Arts Show 2.0. I'm your podcast host, Khalid, and my guest today is Kevin Kroom, a UFC fighter, and we talk about his journey into the UFC, his martial arts training background, and many more things. Stay tuned.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, brother? Hope everything is good.
What's up? What's going on?
I'm fine. Everything is good. I hope you too.
Oh, man, dude, amazing. I just jumped out of the airplane. It was pretty sick.
Yeah, I saw your story. You were skydiving today, first time.
Yeah, man. Yeah, dude, it was awesome. Like, I just landed, like, a few minutes ago, so it was great.
So how did that feel? Because I never experienced that. I definitely think I have to do that after Corona.
Oh, dude, yeah, you should definitely do it, man. It was wild. It was exhilarating, for sure.
So were you scared? Were you afraid? Or was it more excitement than afraid?
Oh, yeah, much more excitement, man. It was amazing.
So you went just in a hall in a room, or was it outside?
Outside, yeah.
Okay, so it's not like in these rooms, you know, when you watch on UFC the Dana White series where they went in Abu Dhabi in that room.
Yeah, no, it was out of a plane. Yeah.
Okay, so nothing is broken, everything is fine.
Everything's good, man. We're good.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. Then I thought we can start now. So tell the people quick who you are and a little bit about your background.
Right on. Well, I'm Kevin Kroom. Been a MMA fighter for 13 years now. Just got signed to the UFC. So, yeah, that's me, I guess.
Yeah, life is definitely good now. So I saw your post. 13 years, basically, you applied for the UFC job.
Yeah. As you said. Yeah, 13-year job interview. It was a rough one, but I got it finally.
Yeah, and you definitely deserve it. I mean, you're a very great submission specialist. You're very good on the ground, but also striking is also good. And I watched your UFC debut. You're supposed to fight in August, right? But then they changed it to September.
Yeah. I was supposed to fight. I got the call, and then something happened, and the fight canceled. But then I got the call in a couple of weeks.
So you did your fight camp before for August, and then you needed to change, or was it on a short notice?
Yeah, I mean, it was short notice. Like, I fought August 14th, and so, I mean, I was already in really good shape, and I just been training after that, you know?
So for you... short camp is good, or do you like the longer camps? Because I mean, you're over 30 now, and I know some fighters when they're 30 or older, they like the 6 week camps. The younger fights usually like maybe the 12 or 10 weeks.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm in camp all year round. I stay working.
That's the best way. Yeah.
I rarely take a week off ever, you know. So I mean, whatever, it doesn't matter. I would like a few weeks to be able to prepare for an opponent, but it doesn't matter.
Okay, so that means for you, like 4 to 6 weeks is good. You don't need 12 weeks like a lot of fighters do.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, that's perfect. That's a normal camp for me, I'd say.
Yeah, I think also a lot of fighters, they need these longer fight camps because they're not really in shape, and they also need to get in shape, and then fight camp on top. And when I look at your pictures and videos, you're definitely always in shape.
Yeah. I mean, I live in the gym, so you know.
And when did you start with martial arts? Was it as a kid or just as a teenager? And what type of sports did you do back then, maybe?
I started wrestling when I was in high school. I always wanted to do like some type of martial arts when I was a kid. It just never happened. My family didn't have a lot of money growing up, so couldn't really afford that type of stuff. But started wrestling in high school, and it just kind of went from there.
So it's like the typical, like a lot of American fighters do. They always start with wrestling in high school, and then from there, when they see, okay, they're good, transition into MMA.
Yeah, I mean, most definitely. Yep.
And can you explain maybe, because I'm from Europe, and I'm sure a lot of European people would like to know that, how is a wrestling program in high school? Is it sponsored from the state, or do you have to pay something for that, or is it for free?
Yeah. I mean, it's if you are in public school, it's free. You know what I mean? I guess if you're in a private school, you pay to go. But yeah, it's sponsored by the state, I guess, is appropriate way to say it.
And they offer the wrestling in pretty much every high school?
Yeah, not. I mean, it has to be a big enough high school. Like there were a good amount of towns close by me that didn't have wrestling, but I was in a big enough school that they did.
Yeah, that's awesome. So first contact wrestling, and when did you notice? Okay, maybe you have something in you. You can be maybe a fighter, or you can start with martial arts training.
Yeah, I mean, I always wanted to do it even before I started wrestling, but I don't know. It just I just knew. I don't know like when it was. I thought I could be good if I tried, if I put a little bit more effort into it, and so I did, and here I am. I got pretty good.
Definitely, for sure. Yeah, so far it went all good. And how brutal was wrestling in high school? Because a lot of people, they complain about the wrestling in high school. They say it's so brutal. After school, you're tired and all these things.
Yeah. I mean, wrestling is very tough. It's a good first sport. If you want to go into MMA, it teaches you a lot about good cardio and just like mental fortitude and mental toughness. I highly, highly suggest wrestling for sure.
Yeah, a lot of people say when you start with wrestling first, they have an edge over these strikers. Of course, it depends on the fighter, but the mental toughness you gain from wrestling is a little bit different than the striking, because you're always tired. Everybody forces you in these positions, and you have to work your ass off from certain positions and all that grinding. And
I mean, I would. Striking is much more fun. I would much rather go to a striking practice than a wrestling practice, for sure. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, that's why you got to train it, because it sucks, you know?
Yeah. And would you say you are a better wrestler than grappler than in jiu-jitsu, because you're very good at submissions? And, so it seems like that's your best skill.
I think because of wrestling – I learned how to scramble really well, and it gave me a good wrestling base, which really improved my jiu-jitsu. So, yeah.
So for you, it goes hand in hand, the jiu-jitsu and the wrestling.
Very much, very much. I mean, I would say my jiu-jitsu is more of a wrestling base, you know, type of thing. But yeah.
And where's your school now? Where do you train out? What martial arts gym? I mean, I saw you have James Cross in your corner. So yeah, at his gym, you train there?
Yep, yeah. I live in Kansas City, train at Glory MMA. The best around.
He's also your jiu-jitsu coach, or do you have other coaches as well?
Yeah, no, he's my jiu-jitsu coach. He's a first-degree black belt. I think he should be getting a second degree soon. He's a monster on the mat.
Yeah, for sure. Striking also with him, or do you have other coaches for striking?
Yeah. I mean, we have other coaches too, but I mean, yeah. I mean, he's my main coach. He does everything for sure.
So it's a little bit like a hobby, because he always does everything, striking and grappling. Of course, you have normally three people in your corner, so you have also your other two coaches in the corner as well.
Right. Yeah. For sure. Definitely. I mean, he's a jack of all trades. He knows everything. So, yeah.
And who are your other coaches, your two coaches in your corner, maybe, so you can make a shout out for them or support them so the people can look them up as well?
Yeah. Grant Dawson. Grant Dawson, a UFC fighter. He's a savage. He's 4-0 in the UFC right now. He's a beast. He's pretty much my number one training partner, my best friend. He's great to have in my corner. And, man, I mean, it's normally just them two.
And then third person, it depends who can go with you or who is available, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but those are my two mains, always.
And you fight in a very dangerous and full weight class. I mean, the 155 class is probably the most packed weight class around the world in general. I mean, there's so many beasts and savages, and of course with the champ Habib, so it must be pretty tough.
I don't even fight 155.
So, but it, because it said 155 when I looked it up on the share doc, or was it just
no, that,
used
that
to?
fight that fight was at 155. That fight was at lightweight for the UFC, but
Yeah.
that was a weight class up. I've been fighting 45. I fought 35 too. At the moment, I plan I'll fight 45 in the UFC, but I also plan on fighting 135 too.
Okay, so you basically mix it up all the weight class, you jump around, so you have the body type where you can manage the weight.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. I mean, I don't intend on taking any more 55 weight classes, but you know, I mean, I will if I need to, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what weight do you walk around? Because you're 5'11", if that was right.
Yeah. I'm like 160 right now, but I'm also like drinking beer, you know. So,
so it could be well if so it's if very much off 170.
Yeah, like I mean, if I don't drink beer and eat pizza, then I'm like 55, really, pretty much. Like, I stepped in to fight Roosevelt Roberts at 156. So
you're basically available for whatever weight class they give you, but you would not prefer the 155.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of just a one-off. It just happened. I mean, I would, I guess, if the fight was right, I have no problem with it. But, yeah, I mean, I'm 45 and 35 for sure.
Mm-hmm. And how was it for you to prepare for your first UFC fight? I mean, I guess it's really exciting, but also unknown with the corona situation. You don't have a lot to prepare. How was it?
I didn't have any chance or opportunity or like there was no getting ready for it. You know, I got it on a day and a half notice. I literally just hopped on a plane and flew to Vegas and fought somebody. This is my
so that, that's why that's 155, because then you didn't really have to make weight, and it's basically it. So you were at 155, 156, or did you have to cut a little bit?
I woke up at the day of weigh-ins at 158, but I'd ate like a ton of sushi the night before. So, yeah. I hopped in the tub for like 20 minutes, I think, and I was like 2 pounds under, you know?
Oh, okay. So pretty easy.
Oh,
and
yeah,
did you also... Okay, that's perfect. Because a lot of people they struggle, especially when they're taller. I mean, for that weight class, I would say still you're pretty tall. I mean, 5'11". Usually for these weight classes, some people they fight well to weight. Yeah, and they have some struggles with the weight. But for you, was everything easy?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm not a big guy, so I sweat a lot. So whatever.
And in general, when you cut weight for your other weight class for 45 or 35, do you cut a lot, or do you do a lot with nutrition and then cut less?
Like I mean, when I cut to 45, I normally sweat out about six pounds. So like I mean, that's not even really bad. And I mean, 35 is a little bit more difficult for sure, but 45 is pretty easy too.
Mm-hmm. And then when training camp starts, when you need to focus on your weight, do you look out at your nutrition, what you eat, or do you have a nutritionist or somebody who helps you, or is it just by yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I've just been by myself up until this point. I imagine at some point I'll probably bring somebody in and start getting a little bit more scientific about it. But, I mean, I've been fighting for so long, I kind of just have done always – trial and error and see what worked and just gone by feel. But yeah, now I'll bring somebody in, but my weight's fine, so I'm not it's not like something I need to do right now, you know what I mean? But yeah, I've been on it at some point.
Well, yeah, the UFC is always a little bit different. A lot of people, they get also help from the UFC Performance Institute, and they have there also some coaches and nutritionists, so I guess it will probably also help you there.
Yeah. I mean, that's the good thing about being in the organization is there's a lot of help from outside, you know?
Yeah. And then did you spend a couple of days after your fight on Fight Island or?
Oh, no, I was in Vegas.
Okay. So you didn't go to Fight Island or any of your teammates or whatever?
No. I haven't been there.
A lot of people like that. So Vegas, how was it? They're pretty empty at that time when you had to fight because it was no crowd, of course.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a ton going on.
So basically, almost nobody. They're just the employees and your coaches and nobody else.
Yeah. Well, when you're there for the UFC, yeah, it's like all shut down. It's just. Yeah, I just saw my coaches pretty much. Nobody else, really.
And was it also in the smaller octagon or in the bigger ones? Because some UFC events, they had smaller octagons because of the situation, and some had bigger ones.
I mean, I think it was the smaller one, but I don't know.
So for you, it does matter. You can fight them both pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I give no fucks, whatever.
Because a lot of people, I mean, you probably heard that before the Stipe and DC fight, they had that discussion.
And Brown, I love you.
And that's why I asked, because some people said maybe it's a favorite for DC when it's a smaller cage, because the wrestler usually tends to like the smaller cage more and the striker more the bigger cage. But I guess you can handle pretty much both.
I feel like if you're going to let a cage dictate who wins a fight, that means you're a pussy. You know, you're
don't
a fighter.
Trust
go out there and fight. Don't use excuses like, "Oh, I had a smaller cage" or whatever. I mean, just go out there and fucking fight. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And so, what is your next goal? So, do you have any opponent maybe in your mind, or you just now start focusing on your training and then you see how it goes?
Yeah, man. I mean, whatever. I never really am focused on opponents. I kind of always try to focus on myself, try to focus on me being the best Kevin Kroom I can be. And then I'll take on whatever names my coach says, whatever. So, yeah, man, I'm just going to focus on training and fight anytime I can.
And that's probably the best attitude to have, not like a lot of fighters, especially in the UFC. Sometimes I feel like a lot of fighters, they want to look out for certain opponents and then they wait a lot until they're fighting and then pull out a lot of times, and with you it's definitely not the case.
Yeah, I mean, I try to fight twice more this year if I can.
Yeah, because you have already a lot of fights and a lot of experience, and you won in 2008 a title. Did you also won a title before? Was it your first title then?
Oh, buddy, I can't even remember, man. I've had so many titles. Who knows? I know I just won one recently, but other than that, who knows?
And what is your main style? Is it like grappling, jiu-jitsu, or you mix it up with striking as well?
I mean, whatever, man. It's a fight. You're gonna start on your feet, you know. So I mean, whatever. It doesn't really matter to me, you know. I'm good anywhere, and that's what you gotta do nowadays, you know.
Yeah. And what does a typical training routine look like for you when you have basically off fight camp, when you just can train with your own flow?
I mean, I'm in the gym every day, twice a day, six days a week, twice a day, 4 days a week for sure. Normally once a day, like 2 days, you know. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I train all the time.
So basically whatever is on your mind, or it depends on how you feel, and then you just go with it.
Oh, no. Like, I mean, I do whatever James Krause says. Like, we have practice at our gym, and you in there, and you do what you're told to do, and that's what I do.
Yeah. Yeah, and do you spar a lot? Do you spar, like, every week, or it depends?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of depends. It depends. We don't really do hard sparring at all, really, anymore. I mean, we definitely will get down every now and then. You know, maybe once a week, but maybe not even.
Yeah. Do you think also a lot of people spar too much and too hard? Because in the old school days, a lot of people, they spar like crazy. And it seems like they destroyed themselves in the gym already.
Yeah, man, I mean, that happened to me for sure. I spent, you know, most of my career just having gym wars, you know, that it's retarded. I don't think I don't think you should. I think things are getting a lot smarter nowadays. And there's less sparring, a lot more heavy drilling. I think that's appropriate.
Yeah, so you also like drills more than sparring too much?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't want to spar very much anymore. I'm getting old. I got miles on me, you know. I know how to fight, yeah. Like whatever. I've done it enough. I know how to fight. I need to drill.
So you definitely prefer to get the reps in, like constantly repeating all the time, drills until it's in your system.
Yeah, most definitely.
And usually do you travel also? I mean, now, of course, it's different with the corona, but in general, do you travel to other gyms and train with other fighters?
I mean, no, not so much anymore, man. We got a pretty packed house at Glory, a bunch of savages. So, I mean, I have before. I've gone around and stuff, but I don't really feel the need to at the moment, so I don't.
You're basically just at your gym, and then when some other people... I'm pretty sure a lot of different people visit your gym as well because of James Cross, probably.
Yeah, for sure.
And when you have off days, what's basically your favorite thing to do? Or do you have like just you relax like today with the skydiving?
I think my new favorite thing to do is jump out of an airplane. That was crazy. Yeah, man. I mean, I don't do it too much, man. I spend most of my energy and effort at the gym, so a lot of times I just hang out at the house, man. You know, nothing too crazy.
So then you're also on your off days where you don't train, but you're just there in the gym talking to the people, hanging around.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of martial artists do. I definitely can relate to that because you're so into that, so addicted to the gym, you just want to come every day, even if you don't train.
I mean, it's my life, yeah, for sure. It's where I see my friends. That's where all my friends are, so who doesn't want to go hang out with their friends?
That's true, yeah. And also vacation, do you have a lot of vacation a year, like 2 weeks, 4 weeks, or no vacation, basically?
None really. Like this last fight, I was at the gym on Monday, you know? That you can't the competition's not sleeping, you know, the competition's not taking a day off, so you can't take a day off, you know, let's go.
That's true. So basically you prefer when the fight was Saturday, of course, Sunday you don't train, and then Monday start again.
Yeah. I mean, I always enjoy the weekend, win or lose, you take the weekend, you know, and then, yep, it's back to work. Dues got to be paid on Monday.
Yeah. And how do you deal with pressure going into a fight, or was it a lot of pressure for the UFC fight, or it's the same like always?
Yeah, I mean, all the pressure was on him, you know what I mean? I got brought in to lose, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody expected me to win at all, so I had very little pressure on me, whatever.
Yeah, it was definitely a great fight. I mean, your finish was definitely amazing, and in general, your fights, you have very good fights. I watched a couple of them also on YouTube, and as I said, your submissions are very good, so you can be definitely proud of you.
Yeah, man, thanks. I'm pretty stoked about the whole thing.
Yeah, you're welcome. I see a lot of people start to follow you. I saw that when Laura Sanko made the shout out and then checked you out and thought, okay, definitely have to follow him and have to do a podcast with him.
yeah, for sure. I've gotten a lot of people know who I am now. That's fun.
That's probably the best thing about the UFC. When you fight there, when you have a good fight, a lot of people start to know you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's the best thing, but I mean, it's cool for sure.
But in general, like your previous fights, do you have a lot of pressure, or is pressure like nothing for you? Just do what you have to do.
I mean, yeah, man, for sure there's pressure. It's life, you know. Like, obviously, I put so much time into this. I care about what happens. You know, there's pressure. I want to do good. I don't want to get embarrassed. That's like the biggest thing, is you don't want to get embarrassed. You know, the fight game's rough. But, I mean, I don't know. You just train hard. I train hard, as hard as I can, and I can go in there with an easy mind, knowing that I've done everything I can do, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you did everything you're supposed to do, then you can't be mad at yourself if it's not working, because then you did everything and there's nothing to blame. But you can only blame yourself if you didn't do the work.
Yeah, for sure.
And dealing with fight nerves, is that a thing for you? So, or is it also pretty easy for you?
I mean, I feel like at least once a fight camp, I wonder why I'm doing this again. You know what I mean? like probably in the back room getting ready, I'm probably like, oh fuck, like here again, you know? But I mean, that's just what it is. It's you're gonna have no nerves no matter what. You know.
And how long do you keep? How long do you plan keep fighting? Or is it depends from you look from fight to fight?
Yeah, I mean, I'll fight till I'm done fighting, you know, like whatever. I don't know. Who knows, you know?
So you're not one of these people who say, okay, when I'm 40, I will definitely not fight.
Nah, like, I mean, I said before like 35 or 36, but I'm 33 now and I'm killing the game. So, you know, I don't see why I would stop.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, especially if you keep going like that, if you're on a win streak like this and it keeps going, and then suddenly you're 36 and then you probably maybe fight for UFC title. So, of course, you can't stop then.
Yeah. What's up, and, Caitlin?
Oh, it's also yeah, some people joining. Yeah. And how many fights do you have on your UFC contract? Are you allowed to talk about that? Because usually a lot of fighters, they get the 5 or 8 fight contract.
Yeah, I got 4, I think, whatever. But, like, I mean, that none of that really ever matters, you know?
Yeah. So you'd also, let's say, even if it doesn't work out with you in the UFC, you would then just keep going and maybe other organizations, or if you keep winning, of course, they probably would not cut any fighter, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you're asking me stuff that I haven't even begun to think about for sure. Yeah, I'm just going to kill shit in the UFC and whatever, you know. Hey, Caitlin, no, I'm not. I live in Kansas City now.
Yeah, I think you're definitely on a good way. I mean, as I said, your winning streak is amazing and your fights are really great. Definitely keep going with that. Anything else you want to say to the people, or something to promote, or anything?
No, man. I mean, just give me a follow on Instagram. You know, I'm just chilling, doing the damn thing. I appreciate your time, man. This has been fun.
Anytime, and I appreciate you. It was really a great talk, and yeah, I just through Laura, I just got to you. I'm planning also a podcast with her, but we need to figure it out when she has time, because as you know, she's always very busy.
She's a busy lady. Yeah. She's amazing. I love her for sure.
Yeah. But it was fun, and I hope we can talk soon again, and then have a great time.
Right on, man. I appreciate you. Have a good one.
Anytime. You too. Bye.
All right, bye.
That's it from the Martial Arts Show 2.0. I'm your podcast host, Khalid, and my guest today was Kevin Kroom, and I hope you enjoyed it. Bye, everybody.